Spirit and anoint my lips and anoint our ears that your word may be spoken and heard and Jesus Christ glorified here in our midst. Amen. Good morning. I'm Rob, and I've been with the vestry for the last Friday evening and Saturday. Had a great time with them, and I'm here with you this morning. And the thing that I'm really interested in is, why are you here? And not just here, it's St. Francis, but why are you, not anybody else but you, on the face of the earth? Take a look around. Take a look around at one another. You're actually going to do something even more wildly un-Episcopalian. You're going to talk to people in church. But at the moment, I just want you to look at one another. Notice that there is nobody like you. That may be a good thing. Probably is. There's nobody like you. In fact, you are unique. Take a look at your fingerprint. Nobody shares your fingerprint. Even identical twins don't have identical fingerprints. Now, are you just some cosmic accident? Or is there a reason for you being here? Now, the prophet Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah, he says, before you were born, I knew you. Who did God know before you were born? I wonder. Can any of you remember asking to be born? All I know is I was very young at the time. Now, I've forgotten a lot through the course of my life, but I cannot remember asking to be born. Which tells me that I must be somebody else's idea. So whose idea am I? Am I my parents' idea? Well, whose idea were they? And whose idea were they? My grandparents. My grandparents' grandparents. You go back and back. Somehow, eventually, we come up with the idea, we are God's idea. So what was God up to when God created you and your uniqueness? What was God's purpose for you? Now, one of the things that I'll ask people, for example, is, what's your ministry? What's your ministry? And people will say, well, you know, I acolyte, or I sing in the choir, or I'm a lay Eucharistic member, I work in the food program, I do all these things in, around the church, the altar guild, and I would tip most of the time say, no, that's not your ministry, that's your hobby. What is the bulk? What do you do with the bulk of your energy and time and talent out there in the world? That is your ministry. You may be an attorney, you may be a teacher, you may be a nurse, you may be a plumber. That is your ministry. That is why you're here. And how you do that's very important, because we all have a part to play in the incredible economy of God and the way everything needs to work. Think of the plumber. What does the plumber do? It's an incredibly noble thing that plumbers do. Do we have any plumbers? Any plumber in the room? Well, let me talk about the people who aren't here. That's what we do in church, right? The plumber. The plumber brings life-sustaining water to people and takes life-destroying waste away from people. Right as we sit in this room, there are people dying because they don't have water and that they have too much waste. very noble thing that plumbers do. But actually, there's a very noble thing about everything that human beings do. And it's to find that nobility in what they do and to live it and manifest that nobility in the world. But I come back to, why are you here particularly? Here's where we're going to get really un-Episcopalian. To explore why you're here, I invite you to turn and talk to the person sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you, or somewhere, and just to talk to the person about, and here's the question, beyond being with your family, what do you love to do? So beyond being with your family, what do you love to do? And talk to one another, share what you love to do, listen to what they love to do, and then we'll talk about what it is that you love to do. So have a conversation. Be an Episcopalian. So what do you love to do?
I just like to play music.
Cool. Music's cool, isn't it? Uh-huh. Cool. How about you? What do you love to do?
I was telling you, like, I used to love to read tremendously. I love to read, to immerse myself in a whole new world, but I haven't been able to do that for a long time.
Uh-huh.
I miss that.
Uh-huh. Cool. Cool. So what do you love to do, sir? What do you love to do? Travel. I'm a Kiwi. Okay, so what do people at St. Francis love to do? What kind of things? What kind of things did you hear? We can be like people in church. We can tell stories about other people. So what did you hear this morning? What do people at St. Francis love to do? Sing. How many people love to sing? Actually, if you love to sing, say amen. Alrighty, cool. I love it. Okay. Now, tell me though, what is it about singing? What is it about music that you deeply love? Freedom. You experience a freedom when you're singing. What's that?
So you can hear it.
So you can hear it. And what do you hear when you sing? Harmony. How many of you who have sung alongside somebody where you're singing your line and they're singing their line and you get to that resonant place? Isn't that wild? That is just, isn't it wild, guys? Amen. Hey. Alrighty. Okay. So, but notice then what happens when you get to that place of harmony. What do you then experience? God.
The army of the spirit, Pythagoras, underlies the secrets of the universe.
Not sure that I got all of that, but when you get to that place of harmony, you begin to experience the secret of the universe. What is the secret of the universe?
Everything returns to harmony.
Everything returns to harmony.
No matter how violent.
Which is the whole point of the gospel this morning, right? So, harmony, and all that will return to harmony, brings us back to this place of God. What I'm very, and when you think about those moments of harmony and you get that deep resonance, you've got oneness, connection, but it's expansive. You're no longer your little voice. You've become part of something far greater than yourself, right, choir? Cool. So think about it. If you really love music and engage in music, why are you on the face of the earth? Ponder that one. We'll come back to it. What are some other things that people love to do here? Travel. How many people love to travel? Say amen.
Amen.
Ah, cool. Amen. Now, told you you'd be un-Episcopalian this morning. Okay. Now, here's a cool thing. What is it about travel you really love? The journey, seeing new places, discovering, having your mind open to new things, new possibilities, places, people, cultures. Okay? Now, here's another one, though. How many of you love to read? Say amen. Do you notice, Sarah, they're a bunch of Episcopalians. They really are. It's almost universal in Episcopal churches. People love to read. Love to read. What is it about reading you really love? It's like, brilliant. Exactly, that's the whole point. It is exactly the same. It's a world of discovery. There really isn't much different. Turning over a page and going round a corner in your car when you're traveling. Living vicariously. But what does that do, though? So you get that other perspective that can invite you into a new place and experience in your own life. So it's this world of discovery. Uh-huh. So I think there's. So what I'm looking at here is, what is the essence of what you love to do? Reading and travel, the essence of it is this world of discovery and possibility and opportunity. So what is the essence of singing and music? I think, pardon? What? I think that's the fruit. The fruit of it. What I would say the essence of music is, it is, and what musicians are in lots of ways, is a servant of transcendence. That work, guys? Here we have the servants of transcendence in St. Francis. Uh-huh. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah. Maybe that's why you're here. Okay, what are other things that people love to do? Eat. Ah, I love it. Now, before we get to you, we gotta go find the resource there. How many people love to cook? How many people love to eat? Okay, get together afterwards, organize, get it figured out. Okay, so now the people who love to cook, this is really interesting because we can explore what cooking really is about. For example, think about those of you who love to cook, take a moment and remember cooking a meal that just is sort of, and particularly when I talk about these things that you love to do, and they can be very simple, I didn't mention this, but these crazy little things that just get you deeply satisfied. I mentioned to the vestry on Friday, one of the things that I love to do is glue big pieces of pipe together. I know I'm weird, but that's, okay. But anyway, come back to cooking. Think about a time, those of you who love to cook, what was it about that cooking that you really loved? I'm going to give you some possibilities. How many of you, as you think about cooking, what you're really aware of is thinking, so it's an act of creativity where you're putting this spice and this, and you got the chicken, and I could do this, and I could put that herb, and I could do this kind of, and so I'm getting a few head nods from some of you. But yeah, it's so cooking is an act of creativity. Now, that creativity, though, may be expressed in some other ways. That's sort of, if you like, an olfactory and a gustatory form of creativity. But there could be that what you're really interested, yeah, the flavors are important, but actually I'm also really, really interested in texture. They have to be soft and there has to be crunch and there has to be different kinds of textures when you're eating, that it's not just put in a blender and you get this glob of that's not what cooking's about. Heaven forbid that you ever break your jaw and have to suck your meals through a straw. You know, it's like, yeah. So it could be the creativity may be around texture. It could be, though, that actually the creativity is really around color and aesthetics, and it has to look good. So you've got the right different colors, and the way you lay the food out on the plate, it becomes really critical and important to you. And you also want to have it on a nice tablecloth with candles or other sort of aesthetic. It has to aesthetically look good. So we've got variations of creativity. But I know, having done this many times, and particularly on Friday, there's at least one person in this room who loves to cook, who I haven't even talked about at all, and what she loves to do when she cooks. I don't think she's probably alone. So what is it, Sarah, when you cook and you're thinking about cooking, do you really love? So that cooking is an act of hospitality. The essence of it is hospitality. So notice that you all could do the same thing, but it may actually have different significance or importance or relevance to you. Cooking, for example, can be an act of hospitality. It could be an act of creativity. It could be a combination of the two, but it may change in some ways. So think about what it is you love to do. And why is that important? And as I said, these simple things, is something wild. There is a person in this room who loves spreadsheets. Isn't that wild? That is wild. Loves spreadsheets. Just about as crazy as someone loving gluing big pieces of pipe together. Now let me tell you about, I'll tell you about gluing pieces of pipe together and we'll get to the spreadsheets in a bit. But here's the thing. One of the things, a couple of years ago I was doing a big addition to my house and we were putting in, doing all the dirt work and the pipes and what have you. And I was gluing big pieces of plastic pipe, 4-inch pipes. I dug all the trenches with my little tractor, which is a Kubota, sir. Need to talk to you afterwards, but they pointed you out. So I dig all these holes and I'm gluing all this pipe together and what have you. And every time I put the pipe into the fitting and it went all the way in and the pipe hit the flange on the inside of the fitting, it just felt, yeah. And then there are other times you put the pipe in and it's not right, and by then it's stuck. I mean, it's the glue's set and what have you. And it'll work because it's just, there's not much pressure on it. But it's not right. And I reflected on that. And why is this so important to me, this sort of sense of deep, deep satisfaction you get from doing something as simple as gluing a piece of pipe? And I realized one of the things that's really important to me is that people fit. I worked in a large church with a large staff. And when I got there, we had lots of square pegs and round holes. Have you ever worked with someone who's in the wrong, doesn't fit? Or ever been one of those people where you're working in a place where you don't fit? It's miserable. And so getting the square pegs and the square holes and the round pegs and the round holes, getting things to fit is really a big part of what I'm about. What I'm interested in this morning, for example, is to help you figure out where you fit in the universe and in the world. By looking at what it is you love to do and what's the meaning and significance of what it is you love to do. So what are some of the other things that people love to do? What else did you hear? Gardening. And tell me about gardening. What part of gardening do you love? You like to create beauty. Aha. Take a moment and remember a time when you really created beauty. Pretty cool, isn't it? Maybe. Maybe a few years back, God was looking out. What's your name, ma'am? Marsha. Marsha. A few years back, God was looking out over creation and thought to God's self, what a mess. These people have made my creation ugly. But I got a plan. I got a plan, and the plan's name's Marsha. To bring beauty. To bring beauty. I was telling you about this guy who really loves spreadsheets. It really is kind of cool. What is it about spreadsheets, Fabricio, that you really love? In lots of ways, it's kind of like that issue of harmony, isn't it? It all comes to, but I think it's also, well, we've talked with Fabricio about this, but about the sense of bringing order out of chaos, making things orderly. There's an enormous amount of chaos in this world. And that there are people who love to bring order out of chaos. What is it you love to do? And what's the essence of that? You know, in the Old Testament we had that story of the dry bones. What gives life to your bones, to your body, and brings life to you? Why are you here? Now, does anyone here love to go fishing? Do you have any? Ah, you love to go fishing? Well, you know where we're going, don't you? What kind of fishing, Paula?
Ocean, deep sea.
Ocean, deep sea fishing. Mm-hmm. Now, is somebody back here who loved to go fishing too? Uh-huh. What kind of fishing, sir? Fly fishing. So you go up in the mountains and go fly fishing, and you go on the ocean. Okay, and the rest of you who love to go fishing, here's the thing. Just take a moment and remember. Put back together in your mind a time when you were fishing. And as you're out there on your boat or up there in the mountains, this guy, Jesus, comes vipping along. And he says, Paula, it's either fishing or following me. What's it going to be?
Just a moment.
No equivocating, no equivocating. We'll come back to you. Sir, so is it fishing or following Jesus?
I'll prefer with Paul.
The great existential question is always now.
Is there a difference?
Was it?
Is there a difference?
I'm not sure. Well, tell me. Fishing. And following Jesus. You could do both. You want to have your cake and eat it too, right? You reckon? Oh, I think you're just equivocating. Jesus seemed to be pretty tough when he said, follow me. Okay, I've given you, 60 seconds, sir. What's the decision?
What's the decision? I think they're one and the same from what I get out of it.
You obviously heard the sermon at 8 o'clock. And he says that they're one and the same thing. Right, Paula? Now, most people will sort of and ah and say, well, it'll have to be following Jesus. And at that point, I would say, you're not a real fisherman. Because a real fisherman couldn't make that decision. Go back and think about what it is that you deeply love. And then ask yourself, it's either following Jesus or doing what I really love to do. And I would guess, if you really love to do what it is that you love to do, you will feel torn inside. I think it's an artificial question. Because I think you are on the face of the earth to do that which you love to do. That's why you're here. And what did Jesus do with the fishermen? Because he said to two fishermen, come follow, leave your nets, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. But what Jesus will do is he will embed your future in the essence of what you'll love to do. What you love to do. Right, Marsha? Come follow me and we will create beauty. That sound like a plan? Uh-huh. And we will cast beauty on the face of the earth together. Come follow me. What is it you love to do? And would you be interested in following Jesus to do what you love to do for the benefit of the people of the peninsula and this world that you live in? I think that's why you're here. Through this Lenten season, you've been looking at the hidden things. What's hidden inside of you? What's hidden inside of you is your passion, your interest. It's why you are here. And to do that. What kind of work do you do, sir? Yeah. You're a musician. We've talked about you already. Here's the thing. What's the similarity between fishing and music? The joy of discovery. Uh-huh. And I would hazard a guess, when you're in the mountains and you're doing the fishing, and when you're singing, you become part of something bigger than yourself. Pardon? Oh, okay. And the music. Now, here's the question. I won't ask you. I won't embarrass you about this one. But Paula, which would you rather do? Invite someone to church or invite someone to go fishing?
Boy, that's hard.
She says that's hard. What do you reckon?
Of course, church.
Here's the thing, Paula. Why don't you think you have any business inviting someone to church who you haven't invited fishing? Mm-hmm. Or sharing what you love. Why do we invite people to church? Well, we invite them out of relationship. How do you have relationship with people? By sharing what you love with them. Building trust. Which is the word for today, isn't it? Trust. How do you build trust? By sharing what you value with people and seeing whether the value is protected or respected. Now, when you look at the scriptures and we think, well, we need to become evangelists. It's a very un-Episcopal word, isn't it? Even though it begins with E. And you think, what's evangelism? And what comes to our mind is running around talking to strangers about Jesus. Now, it could be just from where I come, but let me tell you, if a stranger walks up to me and says to me, Rob, are you saved? I will say, not from you, but if you would move back, I will feel safer. You have to earn the right to talk to me about deep existential things. But when we look in the scriptures and think about evangelism, the talking to strangers about Jesus is actually the work of the apostles. Peter and Paul went to Greece and all those different places. Evangelism in the New Testament is sharing what you love with the people that you love. People experience something in Jesus. Who did they go talk to? They talked to their family, their friends, their neighbor, the shopkeeper, the people who they knew, the people that they had relationship with. And how did you have relationship with people? It's by sharing what you love with them. For those of you who like to cook, you invite them over, you have a meal, and you have good time together. And in the course of conversation, something may arise. And you talk about deeper things, more important things. But it begins with relationship. Now, I'm actually very un-Episcopal in this setting, and because for some crazy reason, I don't like to read. And I don't find reading as my way of learning particularly. But I think about doing ministry and mission in the world. I have this fantasy of the Episcopal Church being a whole series of lighthouses for literacy. It's the one thing most Episcopalians know about and love. And how would you share that love of reading? Now, if you were to look, for example, at urban and rural America, where you have generational unemployment, one of the problems, it's not the only problem, but one of the problems, for example, is illiteracy. And maybe that could be a little niche that Episcopalians could really take, because this is what we love. And we're here to share what we love with the people that we love. So take a moment and come back and think about what it is that you deeply, deeply love to do. And what is the essence of that? What's the essence of what it is you love to do? The invitation this morning is to come, follow Jesus, and do what you love to do for the benefit of the community in which you live.